بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم. صلاة السلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Hey everyone, it's your sister Shaba. Today we're talking five prayers. Because as you embark on this journey to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to experience that sweetness of Iman that you so badly want in your heart, step number one, or even step number zero if you will, is establishing the five prayers as a daily habit. And that's the key. To understand how to establish this, you have to understand that it is a habit. And habits require discipline. They require continuous journey. It's something you need to invest in. It doesn't happen overnight. So once you've understood that that's really what it is a habit, that's step one on your journey to establishing them. So inshallah, this podcast episode, I'm going to be going over all of the tips that helped me establish this as a habit, and I still struggle 100%, but I'll talk you through how I get through those struggles and convince myself and motivate myself to establish the five daily prayers on a daily basis. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep both you and myself steadfast in this practice until the end of our lives. Ameen. So bismillah, let's go prayer by prayer by prayer. Actually, before we start by the prayers, let's zoom out. We as Muslims understand that none of our good deeds, none of our worship is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He is al-hayy al-qayyum, he's the everlasting, self-sustaining. He does not require our worship. I mean, he's our creator. There's nothing that the creation can do for the creator, right? Does that make sense to you? Okay, so once we've understood that, how do we reconcile this information with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prayers mandatory? And in fact, it is so important. Not only is it one of the five pillars of our religion, it's also the first thing that we will be questioned on that fateful day of judgment. So it's the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will carry his judgment out on. He will ask you about your prayers. SubhanAllah, what wisdom can we take out of this? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us here? If he doesn't need us to pray for him five times a day, but he made it so important and so mandatory that it's the first thing you will be questioned on, that must mean that it is extremely important and beneficial to us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ordains anything except that it benefits us. And even when something isn't ordained, for example, if you're going through a trial or tribulation, it's always to your benefit. And if you don't see the benefit of that trial or tribulation in this dunya, just know that in the long game, like in the grand scheme of things, it will benefit you in terms of where you'll end up in your akhirah and your hereafter, right? So first, we have to understand that, alhamdulillah, we have a loving creator. Our creator is Al-Wadud, the most loving, the most merciful, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And he would never, ever do anything to harm us. So that's the first thing to understand, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained this act upon us, made it mandatory out of his immense love for us. Now, we're human beings, our brains are fickle, and because we are the creation and not the creator, we can never fully understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hikmah in this beautiful act. But there are hints, there are certain explanations given to us in our tradition, and there's things that we can just conclude on our own logic. So inshallah, that's what we'll be going over together during this episode, and I hope that you'll benefit. So, now that we've understood that the prayers are mandated for us because they benefit us, let's go through the benefits. I love to start with Fajr because my opinion is that if you struggle with your five daily prayers, as long as you can establish Fajr on time, the other four will become super easy for you. Not super easy, but way more doable. And this is because the way we start our day sets the tone for the entire day. I remember I was walking through a bookstore like last year, I think, and there's this book there in the self-help section, and it's called Make Your Bed. I believe that's the title of the book. And I just thought it was so funny. Like, it really stood out to me, the title of that book. And it was a small book, so I picked it up and I'm Googling it there in the bookstore. And I see that it's based on this speech that this ex-military person had given. And this speech was viral. When I tell you guys, like, this speech has been shared like millions of times, if not hundreds of millions of times. People are so inspired by what this man is saying. And I thought it was hilarious. It was hilarious to me because the whole concept is, if you start with your day with making your bed, you're training your brain to tackle on everything else that comes along that day. Like, the first thing you do is an act of discipline. The first thing you do is like cleanliness, and you're overcoming that challenge. Like, your brain tells you, oh yeah, I'm gonna sleep in my bed tonight anyways, there's no need for me to make my bed. But no, you overcome that like challenge and you make your bed, and that sets the tone for your entire day. And what I took from that as a Muslimah was the fact that, whoa, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to wake up for Fajr. We majority of Muslims, we start our day with Fajr. Like, we might go back to sleep after it, but majority of our Muslims, we wake up and we pray first thing first. Like, we make wudu, we pray either tahajjud or Fajr when we're waking up in the morning, and then we go about our day. And this is such a mental, like, this is such an act of mental resilience. It really creates an unparalleled type of resilience and strength in our brain, teaching us that we can overcome anything on that day, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never promised roses in this dunya. He never said it was going to be easy or a fun time. He did, however, promise trial and tribulation. We know for a fact that this dunya is going to be thorny. And so, in a way, Fajr is that first thorn of the day, if you will. And astaghfirullah, I'm not referring to prayer as like a thorn in our backs, but it is a challenge, right? Like, shaitan is literally there and he's going, hush, 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 go back to sleep, go back to sleep. There's still so many hours left for you to go to sleep. You don't have to wake up for work until another 2.5 hours. Go back to sleep. So it is that first challenge of the day. And when we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, and we get up, and we make a good wudu, and we get on the prayer mat, and we pray our Fajr, you're overcoming that first little thorn, that first little challenge of the day, and you're telling your brain, if I can do this, I can do absolutely anything. And it doesn't mean that your whole day will get easy, no, but you become so resilient, and you can tackle it head on, and you can face it with this strength that you've developed as a result of your Fajr habit. So that's what it is with Fajr. In my opinion, Fajr is the best way to start your day. There is no better way to start your day than Tahajjud or Fajr in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, overcoming that sleepiness, that desire to go back to sleep. Because, you know, we don't actually need, like, we're going to be fine if we lose 30 minutes of sleep or 2 hours of sleep. And if you fell asleep really late the last night, that's like a fault of your own. That's something you have to look back at your schedule and see, what can I do to optimize my sleep time so that it's not this challenging to get up to for Fajr? Because although Fajr will always be a little bit of a challenge, you will find over time that there are things you can do to make it a lot easier for yourself. Like, there are definitely people out there who get up for Fajr and it's not a problem. Like, they'll just get up. It's like so easy for them. MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us amongst those people. But there are things you can do, like going to bed early, making a really strong intention, placing a desire in your heart to pray Fajr, and inshallah it will become, you'll see, significantly easier for you the next morning. So that's Fajr. Zuhr is a beautiful prayer, because if you pray the sunnah rakats with Zuhr, it's actually 12 rakats, right? So you bring your 4 sunnahs, your 4 fard, and then 2 sunnahs. And even if you don't pray the sunnah rakats, it's 4 fard in the middle of the day. For most of us, it's around like lunchtime. It's basically in the middle of the workday. So let's say you've pulled up to the office, you have your to-do list, you're stressed out, and just a few hours into like your work stream, and you're really getting into the, you know, getting the hang of things, you're getting into the workflow, and then bang, the adhan comes on and you have to go pray. In my opinion, dhuhr is a beautiful reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, like, this opportunity to breathe from dunya. Because when you start your day, it's typically in the morning or like the first half of your day when you're overwhelmed by things, right? Like later on as the day progresses, things get easier typically, right? Because you're getting through your to-do list or you've tackled some of the challenges of the day. And then again, right before bedtime, it gets hard again. But usually it's that first few hours of the day when we're faced with our most challenging portion of the day. Like if you're a mother getting her kids ready for school and dropping them off, and then you have to go deal with the house. If you're like a man that goes to work, if you're in school, like it's really hard to focus on those first few lectures, and then later on it's fine. So subhanAllah, dhuhr gives us an opportunity to breathe, take a deep breath in, step back from dunya, and regain like the consciousness that, hey, I'm a believer. I believe that dunya is a very temporary stop on my journey, and my eternal abode is inshallah Jannah. What can I do today to get into Jannah? And I attended a lecture, and I feel so terrible that I don't know the name of the author of this book. I'm actually going to grab my notebook to see if I can find it right now. But I attended this lecture where the sheikh was translating a book that's only available in Arabic, unfortunately. And it's from this man who isn't really known for his scholarship or his works, but he wrote a book about prayer and how to regain, like, be mindful in your prayer. It's about mindfulness and prayer, so improving your khushu. And he wrote something really, really beautiful about how when we say takbir in the beginning of our prayer, Allahu Akbar, that first takbir, it doesn't matter what madhab you are, you put your hands up to your ear, right? The author of this book was saying how as you put your hands up to your ear, that Allahu Akbar can mean a multitude of things depending on the state that you're in when you step on that prayer mat. So for example, if you are in a state of like tribulation, okay, the world is closing in on you, you feel suffocated, something is on your mind and it's bothering you. So that's the first state. You're in a state of trial or tribulation. When you say Allahu Akbar and you put your hands up to your ear, you're literally pushing, if you will, like I want you to, as you're listening to this, think of those hands by your ears and physically push back whatever is troubling you. You're telling yourself Allahu Akbar, God is greater than whatever it is that is troubling me right now. Subhanallah. And then he said that the second state that you could enter the prayer mat on is in the state of blessing. Like you've been given something amazing. Maybe you just got a promotion at work. You're rich. You're living your best life. You just got some fantastic news. You're on vacation. And, you know, and this joy of the blessing could lead to some heedlessness even. It could be a distraction for us, too much of a blessing, really. And so in this state of mind, when the believer goes to the prayer mat to pray and they say, Allahu Akbar, they're pushing away that blessing, that joy for a second, and they're saying, but God is greater. And they're thinking about, wow, if I'm this happy right now in this moment, imagine Jannah. SubhanAllah. God is greater, because God is greater than the joy that I'm feeling right now. Imagine what else he has in store for me in the gardens of paradise. SubhanAllah. And then the third state, I don't actually remember. I'm trying to read my notes at the same time. It's pretty difficult, but I think those were the two main states. Essentially, whatever your state of mind, the Allahu Akbar might mean different things for you. But for majority of us, we've made it such a routine act. We're saying Allahu Akbar. Put your hands to your ears and start praying. Bismillah. Let's get to the prayer. You know, you don't actually think, why do we keep doing takbirat? Why do we keep saying Allahu Akbar? And why do we put our hands to our ear? I'm not saying this is why we do it, but this is one of the wisdoms behind a mindful prayer, is you're mindful of every step and every action that goes into the prayer. And subhanAllah, this was a great reminder for me personally. So when you're praying duha, that Allahu Akbar really hits different. When you put your hands up to your ear, you're pushing back whatever it is that is overwhelming your emotions in that moment, and you take a deep breath and you get on the prayer mat and it's just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. Asr, kind of similar commentary there. So let's move on now to Maghrib. Wow, Maghrib is my favorite prayer. Maghrib is my favorite prayer because although all of the prayers are in tune with times of day, Maghrib is the most visible, right? Because it's when the sun is setting. And subhanAllah, it's like the sun has set on your day. So in the Islamic tradition, the day ends at Maghrib. So like, for example, Maghrib on Thursday, like right after the Maghrib Adhan on Thursday, Jummah has started. So that's when you start your salawat and you're praying because it's Jummah. It's a blessed Friday. MashaAllah. So a Maghrib for me is like the sunset on my day. Okay, my day has, like, the sun has set on my day. How did my day go? This is like a time of self-accountability and reflection for me. And most of us, if we're lucky enough to work a 9-to-5, I mean, I'm a consultant, my hours are disgusting, but if you're lucky enough to work a 9-to-5, Maghrib usually coincides with the time that our days are done. Like, we're back home from school, or if you're a mother, like if you're a parent, your kids come home from school by the time it's Maghrib. Maybe you're prepping for dinner. Like, it really is like you're wrapping up the day in that moment, right? And so Maghrib gives you an opportunity to pause as you're wrapping up the day, get to the prayer mat, and engage in a deep reflection, and, you know, get into sujood to your Lord, get into that moment where you're so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's no time that you're closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in sujood. That's a hadith, guys. That's, look it up. It's truth. When you're in sujood, that is the closest that you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now I want you to reconcile that with the information we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer to us than our jugular vein. How close? Can you imagine how close? SubhanAllah. So that's why it's really amazing to make du'as in sujood. It's super potent. But if you're whispering your du'as in sujood, this is kind of tangential, but if you're whispering, your du'a should be in Arabic. Otherwise, you can make any prayer in sujood in any language as long as it's in your heart. So that's Maghrib. And then there's Aisha. And Aisha is also amazing. And you know what? For me personally, Isha is the hardest prayer. I don't know what it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help me. But like Fajr, yes, it's challenging. But for me, Isha is more challenging because you are now like, for me, after Maghrib is when I'm watching TV or I'm reading my books or I'm on the phone with my friends. And I'm always like, yeah, I'm going to pray Isha before I go to bed. And yes, it's sunnah to delay Isha, but I don't, that's if you're someone who's really good at praying your five prayers, mashallah. But for myself personally, the experience has been the more I delay Isha, the harder it becomes. Like, I make a mountain out of this molehill of praying Isha. And I think to myself, yeah, I'm just going to do it before bed. And then I'm doing my skincare routine. And I'm like, oh no, I forgot to make wudu. I don't want to wash off my expensive skincare now to pray. And, you know, I've even had times in my life where I'm like, okay, I'm going to wake up at 3 a.m. I'm going to pray Isha and Tahajjud. And then I'm going to pray Fajr. Like, I've literally gone to bed saying I'm going to wake up to pray Isha. And best believe I did. I literally went to sleep. And I woke up again, like, before Fajr to pray Isha and Tahajjud and Fajr all at the same, like, in a similar time frame. SubhanAllah. I don't know why Isha is so challenging for me. I'm still working through the wisdom of that. But Isha is a beautiful prayer. It's the most emotional one for me as well. It's when that's like my conversation time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, this reminds me of something was mentioned in the khutbah yesterday. Today's Saturday, or actually, yeah, it's Saturday today. And it was about how Dawood alayhi salam said, may Allah forgive me if I'm misremembering, but it was about the Prophet Dawood, Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, and how there was four things that he would always do in his day. And the first thing was having a conversation with God subhanahu wa ta'ala. There should be no day that passes you by in your life, in the entirety of your life, where you don't engage in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's what being a Muslim is. It's having a relationship with God, and you have to treat it like a relationship. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't abandon you, so why are we abandoning and forgetting Him? And yes, we're human beings, we're insan, and insan comes from the Arabic root word to forget, like yunsu. Yeah, guys, my Arabic's not that great, but it does come from the root, like the verb to forget. So yes we forget, but that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these systems, these five times a day, this routine, this timetable, if you will, so that to help us not forget, to help us overcome the lowliness of our own human state. SubhanAllah. And one of the really big wisdoms around the five prayers, and what I wanted to get at, was the fact that it is a timetable, it's a schedule, okay? You are supposed to design your day around the five prayers. That's why, like, in the winter, when we need more time to sleep and recover, you know, like, animals go into hibernation in the winter, like, we're also animals. We need extra time for rest and recovery in the winter. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the nights long in winter. He makes Isha very, very early. The prayers are all very close together so that we can have a long, restful night. And in the summer, we don't need as much time for rest and recovery. The days are full of worship and the nights are short. And it's really easy to make the hajjah on summer nights, mashallah. It's really easy to fast in the winter. I read a quote. I don't know who it's from. I should really start writing these quotes down so I can start attributing them to the authors. But I read a quote about how the winter is the spring of the believer, meaning it's the perfect time for a believer to stand all night in prayer because Isha comes so early, or Maghrib, I guess. So the night starts so early. So it's so easy to stand in Qiyam in the night prayer and talk to your Lord. It is so easy. And so winter is the spring of the believer. SubhanAllah. That was a beautiful quote. And so the five daily prayers are, again, to recap, they're not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're for you. And you have to reflect on the wisdom of these prayers and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained them for you. Because love is the fruit of knowledge, and you will never be consistent at something if you don't love it. You know, even let's take the gym for an example. People ultimately, they go to the gym because there is something that they get out of it, right? It's like we love ourselves, right? And there's something that the gym gives us which motivates us to keep going, even if it's hard, even if we don't necessarily like the act of working out. We do like the gym, and it's because either one, you might be motivated by vanity, like you want to look good and the gym helps you look good, or it's good for your mental health, it helps you feel good, or it gives you a sense of identity, you identify with your passion for fitness. Whatever it is, there's something to gain from it. And so the number one reason why people struggle with prayer is because they simply don't see what they have to gain from it. And that's a serious problem. If you're lacking that knowledge today, if you think prayer as like a chore, and you don't think of it as a privilege, because that's what it is. Prayer is a privilege. It's a gift to the Muslims. Non-Muslims don't pray five times a day. We're the lucky ones. You know, we were the ones given this gift. And so you have to illuminate your intellect with the knowledge of why prayer is good for you and why you're privileged to have it. And inshallah, love is the fruit of all knowledge. And so when you gain this knowledge, you will begin to love the prayer. And when you love a thing, you don't leave it. It's really hard to leave prayer when you love it. So, subhanAllah. And I did promise I was going to give some tips on how to overcome those thoughts. I personally am not someone who's motivated by like fear or shame. And, you know, this is really important for me to bring up on here. Some people will be like, oh my God, kafir. No. SubhanAllah, no. Because every Muslim alive knows about hell, right? We know about hell. We know about the hooks and the burning flesh and the tar and the pus, and we know. I don't need to describe hell to you, okay? Yeah, that place is scary. And even scarier is like the grave and being like constricted in the grave. And oh my goodness, like, yes, that stuff sends chills down my back. But there are so many Muslims, 2 billion, more than 2 billion. Did you guys know that 1 in 4 human beings on planet Earth is Muslims, subhanAllah? So do you really think all of those 2 billion Muslims pray 5 times a day? I'm just gonna leave that out there as food for thought. So there are 2 billion Muslims here who are aware of hell. And let's add the Christians and the Jews and everyone else who believes in hell here as well. There are all these billions upon billions of human beings who know about hell, and yet they live a life of heedlessness. They don't turn to Allah. They don't obey God's commandments. Why? Because fear is not enough. Fear is not enough of a motivator. You must love. You must love. And that's why everything I talk about will always come from a place of love. And that's why I'm very heart-centric in my personal practice of Islam. And that's not to, you know, I'm not saying if fear motivates you, to each their own. Like, I love that for you. As long as we're both doing the same thing, it doesn't matter how we got there. But for me personally, it's love that's always going to get me there. And so that's really my goal. Everything that I share with you guys, it's coming from a place of my own personal journey, what I had to do to teach myself, to unlearn things. Like, I'm an adult woman learning to pray 5 times a day. It is so hard to incorporate such a huge monumentous daily habit on myself at this age, subhanAllah, because it is monumentous. Your life will change when you pray 5 times a day, no doubt about it. Your life will not be the same. You, who you were when you weren't praying 5 times a day, you say goodbye. You won't recognize that person anymore. Praying 5 times a day will absolutely change your life. You will become a mindful person. You will gain a mental resilience that is unparalleled. People who don't pray 5 times a day cannot be as mentally resilient as you. You can read all of the Marcus, all of the Seneca, all of the Stoic books that you want. Nah, nobody is more Stoic than a Muslim who prays 5 times a day with mindfulness. That's the definition of Stoicism. Is every single day, 5 times a day, we return to our Lord. We meet with him and we say, Allahu Akbar, God is greater than whatever is going on in my life right now. God is greater than the good. God is greater than the bad. God is greater than this dunya. This dunya is just a stop. Think of yourself always as someone on a journey. You are a traveler, and this dunya is just the layover at the airport. You're not going to plan for the layover. You're not going to plan your outfits, your food, your destinations, what tours you're going to do. You're not going to plan more for the layover than you plan for the destination. That's silly. And I fly to Afghanistan, and the layovers in Dubai are 24 hours long, okay? And I still don't plan for those long, long layovers. It doesn't matter how long your stop in dunya is. It would be silly. It would be hilarious if you planned for the layover more than you planned for the akhirah. And so the 5 daily prayers of this life, they are investment into your next life, into your akhirah. And it would be silly. It would be actually silly and ridiculous if we neglected them. And that's about as far as I'll get when it comes to fear-based motivation. I'm not in that game of making you guys afraid. I don't think it works, but subhanAllah, to each their own. And with that, I take your leave. Make sure to email me, khanimkawa@gmail.com, if you have any comments or questions or concerns or criticism or feedback on this podcast. If you have any ideas for future episodes, I would love to hear from you. And I'm also active on TikTok and Instagram at khanimkawa. That's Khanam, K-H-A-N-O-M, and Kahwa is Q-A-H-W-A. Inshallah, we'll see you guys here again. Make sure to follow my podcast here on Spotify or Apple or Google or wherever you're listening. And also give me a 5-star rating if you enjoyed this episode. It would mean a lot to me and be super helpful. Share with your friends and family so that we can all get a share in the hasanat. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.